Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome to a sleepy Monday morning with a sleepy Allison. So glad to have you with me this morning. Why am I a sleepy Allison? And where is Sarah Reinhart? Those are two really good questions. As you probably know enough about me now, I'm not the most organized human being on the planet. I'm actually kind of a little scattered. Squirrel girl for a reason. Totally squirrel girl for a reason. Well, I sort of mentioned to Sarah that we had a show coming up, but I really didn't follow up. And this morning at a quarter of nine, I sent her a message and said, hey, are you coming on today? Yeah, neither one of us was ready to spend this morning. So Sarah is going to join me in December, and I apologized profusely to her or to you if you tuned in just to hear Sarah. I'm sorry. But I know that God had another plan because God is in charge and Allison is not. Yeah, that's a hard lesson. I'm still working on that one. His ways are not my ways. His ways are always higher than my ways. Isaiah 55. And so today, instead of talking about books with Sarah, I am going to share with you my retreat weekend. That's why I'm a tired Allison. The Lord sent me on an Emmaus retreat as part of the team, not a candidate. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you about my retreat with the Daughters of St. Paul on that weekend. I was well rested on Monday. See the difference? Serving and being served. On that weekend, I just got to just drink in all that the Lord had for me. And on this one, I was being poured out like a libation, as St. Paul would say. However, God is never outdone in his generosity ever. So as I gave, he gave right back to me. So I am filled. Unfortunately, I'm just not filled with energy. I'm filled spiritually. I am just not exactly awake, especially because I decided to sleep in. I had a lot of sleep to make up for. So let me kind of back up a little bit. So much to share with you. And if you're listening and you were on the weekend and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what is she going to share? Trust me, I will not reveal any secrets. What happens on an Emmaus weekend stays on an Emmaus weekend. But there are things that happened to me that I would like to share. And I think that they definitely appeal to a wider audience. You don't need to have been on the weekend for this lesson to appeal to you or for it to teach you something as the Lord has taught me. So first of all, what is an Emmaus retreat? An Emmaus retreat, it started over 40 years ago, these retreats, and they were meant for young adults. They were kind of like a follow-up to finish. There used to be a high school retreat, and then those kids would graduate, and they wanted to offer something to keep them connected to the church, and they came up with the Emmaus retreat. Now, 40 years later, it's open to all ages, thankfully, because I did not go as a young adult. I went 10 years ago, so I was 38, so older adult. And I was asked on by my dear friend, Susan Aguiar, though she was Susan Salter at the time. She's now Aguiar. And I went with three of my four closest friends at the time. And the Emmaus retreat is based on the Emmaus reading, the walk to Emmaus with Jesus is with two disciples. We know their names. I think we know at least one of their names. I meant to read it. See, most unorganized human being in the whole wide world could not find my Bible. Now I have like 12 Bibles in my house, though I do have one, the Didache Bible, Ignatius Press, that I talked about last week, that I'm pretty attached to, but apparently not attached enough to know where the heck it was this morning. I have no idea, I'm sure. So I'm winging it. So I know Cleopas, I think Cleopas, I don't know. You know me in names. I can't do, you know, easy, simple English names. Never mind, give me the biblical names. Anyway, Jesus is walking on the road after his resurrection, and he's talking with these two men. You're getting the Allison abridged version of Luke's gospel right now, BTW. And they're sad and they're forlorn, and Jesus is asking them, like, what's up, dudes? Like, what happened? And they're like, seriously, are you the only one who does it? Okay, maybe you're getting the Valley Girl edition of Luke's gospel. So like, oh my gosh, like, you the only one. Sorry, I won't do the whole story that way, I promise. Are you the only one who doesn't know what the heck's going on? And I also won't be using the word heck all morning. What's up with that? I never use that word. Anyway, I'm, told you, tired. Coffee just put into my body, clearly not reaching the brain yet. Are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? And they tell him, you know, our friend, this great, great man, Jesus, he came, we thought he was going to be our savior. We thought he was going to be the Messiah and change things up around here. And they crucified him, and now he's gone. He's dead. And then Jesus starts to talk to them and reveal to them all the places in the scriptures, at those times they weren't written down, but in all the scriptures they would have known by heart, all the stories, all the traditions they would have known. He starts to reveal where all of the places in the, what we would now call the Old Testament, had been fulfilled, and Jesus's life, well, now we call the New Testament, the Gospels particularly. And they're just enwrapped by what he's saying, that they come to the place where they are stopping, and Jesus is going to go on. And they say, no, hey, dude, wait, where are you going? Come, stay with us, eat, dine. You know, they didn't want to let go of him. Like, he's just so riveting with his insights and his inspiration. Like, stay with us. Where are you going? So he stays, and he shares a meal with them. And it's in the breaking of the bread that they realize, oh my goodness, this isn't just an ordinary traveler. This is Messiah. This is Jesus. And then they say one of my favorite lines of all of scripture, how were our hearts not burning within us? How did we not know that we were encountering Christ? How are our hearts not burning within us as he's revealed the scriptures to us? And goodness, there's so much about the Emmaus reading. I could go on and on. Since 2017 A Seeking Heart is going to be all about the scriptures, I am making a note right now to spend a whole day on the Emmaus reading, because it's just phenomenal stuff. Every time I say the word phenomenon, okay, little side down the rabbit hole. Do you ever watch the Sesame Street as a kid? And every time I hear the word phenomenon, I think of that phenomenon. Do, 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 phenomena. Boop, boop, boop. Okay. Just you're welcome. That's going to be stuck in your head all morning. And I'm just happy I could do that for you. I'm just here to help. That's all I'm here to do. I'm just here to help. So we have the Emmaus reading. So here we have the breaking of the bread. And they recognize, yeah, good English, Allison. They recognize that this man who had been with them, that is Christ. And the Emmaus retreat is this encounter with Christ. It's walking throughout the weekend with Christ, encountering him, breaking bread with him, and realizing that he is with us. And having this encounter with him that changes your life. Those men will never be the same after that encounter with him in Emmaus. And despite all of the my own kind of ins and outs with the Emmaus retreats, like wanting to be a part, and you know, every community, every retreat program goes through lulls and valleys and peaks, and you know, leadership that's good and leadership that's more challenging, and you know, you go in and out. And after 10 years, that's a long time. And I've had mountaintop experiences, and I've had valleys, and so I've been away for a little bit, and okay, so here's the true confession from Allison. Here we go. So Labor Day, I'm at my good friend Karen Toss house, and it was my husband and her husband and myself and her, and we were just having a little fire, a little barbecue, sitting by the fire, and I brought this very delicious light peach margarita mix, and I brought just one bottle. And I brought one on purpose. I had two at home, but I only bought one. And little did I know she had one as well. And you know, sometimes kids are helpful, but they're almost too helpful. Like, she's got this daughter that's fantastic and has no problem refilling like my coffee when I'm there, or my water, or apparently my margarita mix glass. And I didn't get up for a while and didn't realize how much I had really consumed. And so I may have drunken-teared myself for this Emmaus. I said, you know, I'm free that weekend, because she was running it along with Suzanne, and I said, you know, I'd love to spend a weekend with you and Suzanne. Suzanne brought me to Emmaus, and I've never got to experience the retreat weekend with you, and the only way you can go back after you've been on as is on serving as team. So unbeknownst to me, that she starts to text Suzanne and say, hey, Allison, can we ask Allison on the weekend? And I'm so grateful for them saying yes. And I do know, honestly, it's so funny, that I probably would not have said yes if they had just come out and asked me. And that the Lord will use all means to get you to do what he is called. Now, I'm not saying God got me drunk, because we know that God does not approve of drunkenness, though. Jesus' first miracle was, as my husband would say, a packy run. That's our way of saying in the New England area, to go to get beer and wine. Anyway, when we get back, I have so much more to tell you about my awesome weekend. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Hey, note to self, Allison Gingras, stay off Facebook in between the commercial breaks. Much, much better for yourself. Social media, such a place. Just unfortunately, I just read a message that had to do with one of my kids. I hate that. And now I'm sad. I'm sad for the person. I'm sad for my child. I'm moving on now. Anyway, can't be overly involved in your children's lives, even though I try to be. You can't help it. Your heart is just, you know, your heart is, it's having children is like wearing your heart on the outside of your body, is it not? It's so hard to watch them go through life and experience things and be hurt or hurt other people. I think that kids shouldn't date till they're like 50, but hey, that's just me. Anyway, back to the Emmaus retreat weekend. And so sharing that, you know, what it's a retreat where we come together for a weekend, 3 days to encounter Christ. And I hadn't been involved in a really long time. Just I had my feelings hurt. I'm a sensitive soul. What can I say? It was stupid. It was really, I took something personal without really getting to the root of it. And I had my feelings hurt. And so I backed away for a while. And you know, I'm so, so grateful, truly, that I got the opportunity to come back on this weekend. And I think retreats are so important for so many different reasons. And one of them is you need time to walk away from social media and the bustle of everyday life. And our retreat theme was breathe, just breathe. And I think that's what we all needed to do this weekend and what people need to do all the time. You need to take time to just breathe. Christ is our greatest example. And if you're reading through the Gospels, you'll see that there's times where he goes away from the crowds, that he goes into the desert, that he takes time for himself to be with God, with the Father, to pray, to breathe, to reconnect and encounter. Well, of course, he's not going to encounter Christ. He's going to encounter his Father. He's going to connect with the Father so that he is better able to serve and to do what God has asked him to do. And each time in the scriptures where we see that he encounters God in prayer, he is strengthened. And then God does the most amazing things with him. And he touches people's lives and he's able to fulfill the plans that God has for him. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, and for your good and not for your woe." And it's hard to see that sometimes, because sometimes life stinks and sometimes it's hard. Okay, it's hard a lot of times. Because as a parent, just reading, you know, just read now that this message from another person saying how upset and disappointed they are with my child, and they have every right to be. He didn't do anything malicious. He just did something that was good for himself, but in the meantime, hurt another person. And I'm sad because I love that other person, and I wish he had thought it through a little bit longer or listened to his mother, who said, "Play it slow." But anyway, moving on. We need that, because in every bit of our life, it gets hectic, it gets crazy, the holidays are coming, it gets crazy quick during the holidays. I mean, if you think about it, we're in November, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, already seeing Christmas commercials. It's crazy. If you have children, you're even busier. But we need God, and we need God in every single moment of our life. We pray without ceasing. And prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is awareness of God. It's real prayer, you know, that we know in the sense of prayer is our Father, the Hail Mary, the Rosary. Those are all prayer. The Mass is the prayer. It's the greatest prayer ever. But this conversation, just this awareness that God is there with you, that alone is worth its weight in gold. It's worth taking that 3 days, not even a full 3 days. It was Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And we were home in time for the Patriots game, which I fell asleep by the end. Could have been the 2 glasses of wine I let myself enjoy. But I hear, though, it wasn't worth staying up. So that was good. I hate when I fall asleep and we win. But we need to take that time for ourselves. We are worth it. You know how we all serve, either for moms or dads or husbands or wives or caretakers, teachers, nurses, whatever we are, whatever we serve and how we serve, we are always putting others before ourselves. Though I am a little self-absorbed, but I try to be more. See, God needed to take me away so that I would serve and care about other people instead of being so wrapped up in my own self for just a moment. So he uses all the different means that we need to bring us the great gifts that he wants to give us. And as I spoke on the weekend, one of my favorite analogies is the analogy of gift, that gifts are only useful if they're received, opened, and used. If you leave that gift under the Christmas tree all year, it's going to serve no purpose. And at some point, it's going to look really funny sitting in your living room, especially if the tree's gone. And you're just, if you ever have somebody that you bought a gift for and you just didn't connect at Christmas time, and it may be like months before you actually see them, and the present goes from under the tree to maybe like in the corner of the room, and then you get kind of sick of looking at it, and then maybe you move it to the closet, and then around November, when you take out your Christmas tree again, you're like, "Oh, oops, I never saw them." No, that doesn't happen to you. Happens to me. Sadly, more than once. But gifts are only useful if we receive them, open them, and use them. And that comes, God's gifts come in so many different ways. They come in the gift of a friend or a new friend. I made many new friends, and not just Facebook friends, but real, actual, living, being friends this weekend. Excuse me. It comes in the words that somebody may speak to us. It comes in the scriptures. You know, for me, I feel like the very simple algorithm for growing closer to God is prayer plus sacrament plus scripture equals a closer relationship with God. Prayer, sacrament, and scripture. There's the secret. There's the gift that God leaves bare for us. He doesn't even wrap it. He just places it there. But we, because of our free will, need to grab it and use it and embrace it. But sometimes we don't even know what it looks like or how to find it or how to embrace it. So a retreat really is another gift from God that allows us that time. Like, I actually turned off my phone. I know, it was crazy. I didn't social media all weekend. I just turned it on this morning, and my sister, my cousin, and I, we have this instant message that we've had going daily for many years. In fact, I don't know why, but Instant Messenger popped up on Thursday or Friday and told me we had 55,000 messages between us. That's how long this message has thread has been going. And I just opened it this morning, and there was like 90 something from the two of them having a conversation that I need to now catch up with. Luckily, we're having lunch tomorrow, so I can anything I missed in the message, we can actually talk about in real life. And I think that's important too. It's great to connect with people via messenger or email, but then also to have those face-to-face encounters. And again, that's what that retreat weekend did for me, to be able to look into somebody's eyes and have a conversation with them, to be Christ in the world to them. For them, one of the young men on the weekend said, the eyes are the window to the soul, which I've heard many times, but I hadn't thought of in so long. And when he said it, it was like, oh my gosh, yes. When we look into other people's eyes, we can connect with them. Now, I don't want to give away secrets of the weekend, because I'm hoping that, you know, maybe this will inspire you to sign up, especially if you're in the New England area, or if there's an Emmaus retreat program in your area. But there's one part of the weekend where you have to look into somebody's eyes. I won't tell you anything more about it, but I fought tooth and nail for them to leave it out. Whenever I ran a weekend, I directed one weekend and I co-directed another. I was like, no, we're not doing that part. I hate it. We're not doing it, because it requires you to be silent and you can be kind of awkward. And I'm a germaphobe and I have this skin thing going on. I'm like, I don't want to touch anyone's hands and I don't want to be that close. And where's the Tic Tacs? I was just being such a brat about it. Yeah, it was one of my favorite parts of the whole weekend. Yeah. Suzanne and Karen were right. I hate that. But it was beautiful. And it was this connection with real people. And that's what Christ wants us to know, that he is real. And that in his, he's with us always in the Holy Spirit, and that he lives and moves throughout the other people in our lives. That when we look in the eyes of another human being, we're looking at the eyes of God, because we're made in his image and his likeness. When we or hold their hands, or hand them a tissue, or, you know, sit with them while they cry, or laugh with them while they share good news, or hold their hair back while they vomit. Like, whatever it is God's called you to do and to be, we have to make time to actually be that in our physical beings, face to face, shoulder to shoulder, and in the same room. I have much more to share with you about the Emmaus retreat, but I also don't want to forget to tell you that this week's giveaway, which is not up yet, but it will be shortly. Keep checking A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on my Facebook page. It includes the rosary book that I told you about by Father Gribble, which is incredible. The history of the rosary. I love Father Gribble. He's my confessor. Going to see him tomorrow morning too. And also Holy Cross Family Ministries. They're donating that book. They're also giving us Father Payton's rosary scripture book, one of my favorites. Little book you could stick in your pocket or your pocketbook, bring it with you anywhere to work or to adoration and pray. There's also some other gifts. I'll mention those when we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know why it's so loud, because I hit mute on my microphone. Welcome to live radio and welcome to Allison's Brain. I'm like, why is that music so loud? I'm introing the show. It should be getting quieter. Nope, it's not, because I muted it to voice text a message. Yep. Hi. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And it's live. And it's me. And this is what I do. Yes, I make mistakes all the time. That's hysterical. That's the first time I've done that one, though. I don't usually mute the microphone. I just figured that Alex, my wonderful show producer, didn't need to hear me babbling to my husband. Okay, so welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am talking today about my wonderful Emmaus retreat weekend. I'm sharing that with you. I am not sharing the secrets. What happens in Emmaus stays in Emmaus. But I also want to remind you to go over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. The giveaway will be up shortly. I'm still kind of recuperating from 4 hours of sleep, two nights in a row, a little less than 4 hours of sleep, two nights in a row. I got up every morning at 5:45 to go with a few of my retreatant friends and pray the rosary around the rosary walk they have at La Salette Shrine. Such amazing, beautiful experience. I'm glad I dragged my butt out of bed to do that. But of course, I also stayed up way too late. That's what retreats are about. Just getting every minute of the experience you can. So my brain's not quite functional, and I did sleep in a little bit. I know. For those who had to get up and go to work this morning, I'm sorry. I hate bragging about when I get to, you know, get my daughter on the bus at 6 a.m. and then go back to bed. I won't tell you what time I got up at 9 o'clock. Anyway, so the giveaway will be up soon, and it includes the History of the Rosary by Father Gribble. Not boring. So cool. Father Gribble is my confessor, and he is just a peach. He's a Holy Cross Father, Holy Cross Congregation, and that's the same congregation as Father Patrick Payton, who is just my patron. He's my go-to guy. Absolutely love that saint in the making. He is a servant of God, which means his cause is in Rome, and hopefully we will see him become blessed, Father Patrick Payton, very soon. And the Holy Cross Family Ministries has very graciously offered both the Rosary Book and Father Payton's Scriptural Rosary Book that you can pray the Rosary to, Meditations, I think it includes. It's wonderful. And they've offered both of those as prizes, as well as Ignatius Press has offered the Toddler Missal, which is adorable, and also a Catechism for Kids and some other awesome books, which I did not put in front of me and or write down. Welcome to my world. Those will be up shortly for you to enter. Great prizes. I'm so blessed by places like Holy Cross Family Ministries and Ignatius Press, Ave Maria Press, Servant, and Franciscan Media. They're always so generous to offer us giveaways so we can share some of these incredible books with you and your families. So you can also go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on radio show. You can enter there, find out what's coming up on the show, if I've gotten there to update it. The rest of this week, we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke. There's a new series out from the Catholic Scripture Study. And my guest on Friday, I'm so excited. I don't know if you know who he is. Google him if you don't. But it is the incredible Paul Thigpen. This will be his third visit to the show. One of the first three Peters. He wrote the Manual of Scriptural, the Manual of Spiritual Warfare. And he also wrote The Saints Who Battled Satan, two incredible books that Allison keeps very handy, because if you want to follow Christ, you have to get ready for warfare. It is war. It really is war. It's spiritual warfare. It is that veil between heaven and earth, and heaven and the spiritual world. I mean, earth and the spiritual world is far thinner than you think. And There is evil at foot that wants to keep you as far from God as possible. And if you put it on your heart to follow God, to grow closer to Him, get ready to battle. And if you put it on your heart to be one who is going to try to bring God, people closer to God by your life, by your authentic witness, by your words, your deeds, be ready to battle. But don't be afraid, because Christ is victorious. He's been victorious since since the beginning of time, actually, but in a very real and powerful way when He allowed Himself to be crucified on that cross. His salvific, why do I try to use big words when I don't have any ability to do so? His saving work on the cross makes Him victorious over the devil. The devil may have reign over this world, but God has reign over our hearts and over the victory of eternal life. He is the one that we need to be working towards and allowing into our life. But there will be obstacles. And we learned that on this weekend. I didn't share with my friends on the retreat this weekend, and at some point I'm sure I'll get a chance to, is the truck that the Lord sent me, which I didn't get at the time, but in hindsight is hysterically funny. Now, what am I talking about God sending me trucks? I'm going to make you hold on to and wait to figure out what truck the Lord sent me and what obstacle that we had on our weekend. By first explaining to you about the trucks. This is your first time listening, then you have no clue, or if you missed the show or the shows, I happen to talk about the trucks that the Lord sends me as, because I'm so thick in the head, He needs to send me Mack trucks. All right, let's back up a year ago, and I started to not feel well, and I have anxiety, I've had hypochondria my entire life, and I get very worried and anxious about my health. So I was having a little health scare and kind of nervous, and someone suggested a 54-day rosary novena. I thought, that's easy enough. So they gave me this great little booklet. I sat down on the couch to start praying the rosary for 54 days in a row. And as soon as I blessed myself, I felt this nudge, get outside. Well, God, I love You and I'm ready to pray to You, but I don't like outside. But there was no way to avoid. I needed to get outside. So I started to do this, what I call rosary walk. Because of my anxiety and where I live, I don't really like to hit the road. I live on a very, very busy street. There's people everywhere, and then there's woods, which makes me even more nervous. And I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk the circle literally around my house. I make like a track around my house. I live on a fork in the road. So I have a road to the right, and then I go across my backyard, which leads to another road. Then my driveway actually connects the two roads. So I go around and around in circles. Well, my house faces a major thoroughway, and it's not that far. It's close enough that I can see it very clearly. All the trucks and cars that go by, but I've never noticed. I've lived here for 22 years. I've never really noticed the trucks. I never like looked out my window and noticed the traffic unless I hear a crash, because unfortunately there are a lot of accidents on my strip of the highway, but I didn't really notice it. So I start to pray this 54-day rosary novena. And, you know, a lot of things were happening at the time in our lives. My father-in-law was passing away. My oldest son was having a nervous breakdown. Our finances were going even further into the toilet, if that was even possible. That's going to be funny in a few minutes. So I start to do this walk. And at one point, I'm walking along the back of my driveway, which means when I turn at the end of it, I'm going to be facing the highway. And I'm getting angry because I've been praying for a while and nothing is changing. I still didn't feel better. Our finances were getting any better. My son was getting worse. My father-in-law was coming closer and closer to death. And I'm like, Lord, what is it You want from me? I just don't understand. What do You want? And I turn and going across the highway at that very second is this truck with the giant word fidelity across the side of it. Fidelity means faithfulness. Like, oh, You just want me to be faithful. Okay. Now, that could have been just a coincidence, right? Yeah, it happened again and again and again. And I shared, and I'll link to that show where I share how the Lord used that in our finances. And months later in November, that Fidelity truck showed up and continues to show up in the most incredible moments, just when I need them. So for me, of course, that makes it a God-cidence, that moment where everybody else would go, oh, that's a weird coincidence. But Allison knows it's God. Allison knows that it's God working, making that veil even thinner, making me aware, giving me the strength in the battles that are to come, and helping to be overcome the obstacles that keep me, that would, you know, would maybe keep me in bed or constantly on WebMD or at the doctor's or whatever it is that keeps me from doing what God wants, that brings people closer to God. He wants to remove those obstacles. And they can be pretty stinky at times. Oh, yes. I have laid enough hints that you need to stay tuned, because my producer tells me we're at the end of the segment. And so you'll have to stay tuned and come back to find out what truck the Lord sent me that I had no idea during my preparation, my rosaries, because I still today get out there almost every day. I pray the rosary every day, but now I still walk that yard every day. And now I understand this certain truck. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And I left off telling you about the trucks the Lord sends me, because apparently I am not easy to get through to, probably because I'm so self-absorbed, as my friend Suzanne once pointed out to me in a little pillow that she gave me. It's all about me. That was the first thing I learned when I started to come back to the faith back in 2005. And I first opened my first spiritual reading book, which was A Purpose-Driven Life, her sister had given to me for Christmas. And the first thing it said was, it's not about me. And it was an eye-opening, world-shattering, earth-moving notion that I still battle today. That's definitely one of my obstacles, is not being so self-absorbed. Anyone with anxiety knows that it's very easy for the devil to push that anxiety button and for you to just completely implode onto whatever it is you're worrying about: money, your children, your health, whatever it is. It's just so easy to be drawn into yourself and make it all about you. When that anxiety button gets pushed, or whatever obstacle it is, if it's working hard, you know, if you're somebody who really feels driven to provide for your family, and everyone wants to provide for their family, but some of us we worry that we can't provide enough for our family, or, you know, we need to stock up just in case something happens down the road. And so we get maybe just drawn into working a little too hard or a little too often, and we can't find that balance. I'm terrible at balance. So the Lord likes to send me trucks, and he likes to get me outside. So just to let you know that the health issue a year ago seems to have been menopause. Yeah, TMI. But the number one thing for helping that is exercise and diet. So I've been walking now for a year. Then a couple of months after that, my friends introduced me very generously by paying for me to go to Weight Watchers. So we're about 20 pounds down and feeling much better, though, you know, I still have that thorn in my side thing that we need to take care of, even though the doctor says it's nothing. I wish I had time to share with you, and I'll probably blog about it, or maybe I'll share it on Wednesday's show. The remarkable thing that the Lord did for me on the weekend, introducing me to somebody, and this whole thorn in the side thing from the last retreat to this retreat, and how it's evolving, and I just know that the Lord is up to something really big and beautiful, and he's changing my heart. So I'm going to make a note right here in my notes to talk about the thorn and the wonderful things that the Lord did with. But I want to go back to the truck so I don't run out of time, because I don't have another segment to come back to finish the story. So the fidelity truck shows up, and at the base core of the word fidelity is the Latin fidelis, which means, I'm sure I said that wrong too, but it means faithfulness, to be faithful. God is calling me to be faithful to him, because he's always faithful to me. I needed to see his faithfulness as well as I needed to be faithful to him. So I continued those walks, and the fidelity truck showed up again and again. This year, I've noticed that he's talking to me again with the trucks. This is so cute and so funny. One of the trucks he sent me, I was praying the novena to St. Therese of Lisieux, and she sends roses. That's the answers to her prayers when she prayed her novena or just prayed to her. She sends roses. Yeah. Now the florist truck starts to go by. Yeah. Never noticed that one before. The Fall River florist with a rose emblem on the side of it. That made me laugh, and it came perfect timing. And the next one was this fear that something is going to happen to me. And I share that with you all the time about my fear of getting cancer, or fear of dying before I've accomplished whatever it is in my heart I think I need to accomplish, or leaving my family early, like just been my fear forever. And it's just getting a little worse, especially as this weird, I don't know, uncomfortableness in my side comes and goes, and it just doesn't disappear. But I was reading the scriptures at adoration, and I stumbled across, "Blessed is she who believes that what has been told will be fulfilled, what has been told to her will be fulfilled." And it harkened back to this prophetic reading that I ended up going to, kind of not by my will, just kind of happened. I was at something working for a radio station at the time, WQOM, and it was a charismatic conference, and this inspiration of my heart said, they're going to come over to you and tell you that they have room in the lineup for you to go for a prophetic reading, which they hadn't. They've been sending people away time and time up until then. I'm like, yeah, whatever voice in my head. And then seconds later, they came over and they said, hey, we have an opening, and I think the Lord wants you to have it. Then I'm in line going this is voodoo crazy stuff. I shouldn't be doing this. I know enough about mediums and psychics. I shouldn't be doing this. This is crazy. She comes up to me and she looks at me in the eye and she says, the Lord wants you to know that he'd never bring you to something to harm you, that this is what he wants for you. I was like, oh, okay. That was even crazier. Anyway, the prophecy was, and prophetic readings through the Holy Spirit are a real church thing. I brought it to my spiritual director. I checked it all out before I opened up my mouth to share this with you. And basically she said, I was being anointed a great teacher, that God's fear would be my sphere, that I'd be sent out as a great teacher globally to share the word of God. And now I'm thinking, okay, well, I have this thing now, and I'm probably sick, and I'm just, it's probably stage 1,000 because I wait so long to go to the doctor. Though I did, by the way, go to the doctor, and he said it was nothing, but I'm driving home, and I'm thinking all about this reading, and then after I'd read, blessed is she who believes, and I'm thinking, God keeps his promises. I know God keeps his promises. He wouldn't give me that message and then not fulfill it. That's just kind of not how he operates. And I'm waiting at the light right before my house, and this truck goes by, and it says, helping the world keep promises. I was like, keep promises. So the other day I was really very freaked out about this health thing and about to leave the house to go pray the rosary. And I'm telling you, these trucks go by in tandem, one to the left and one to the right. They cross right in front of each other. It's the florist truck and it's the keeping promises truck. I couldn't make this stuff happen if I tried. It just incredible, blows my mind. Poof. That purple smoke comes out of your head. Incredible stuff. I love that commercial. Karen mentioned it on the weekend. It's one of my favorites. Just mind blown. Godsidence. Like, God is so active in working in our lives. He is here. He is not distant. He is not absent. He is there. And you just need to open up your hearts and your minds and you will see it. I promise you, you will see it. If you think that God doesn't hear you, you're wrong. I'm just going to be really blunt. You're wrong. He hears and he longs to answer. There's so many different ways he answers, and we have to be open. We have to open our hearts and our minds and our eyes sometimes. Sometimes it's just a matter of opening up our eyes to see this and to receive the message. So, as I alluded, there's lots and lots of obstacles that try to keep us from sharing the word of God. So on our weekend, Saturday night, after very, very powerful reconciliation and adoration and that whole thing that I didn't want to do, which turned out to be one of my favorite moments of the whole weekend. I'm trying to be vague because I'm hoping that this inspires somebody out there to join us on a future Emmaus. And I don't want to give away too many secrets, but after all of this, we're all enjoying some cake and some fellowship and we're just laughing, and all of a sudden start to sniff in the air. Something not quite right. And one of the guys comes down and he says, "My toilet won't stop flushing." And we look in the kitchen and the floor is just covered in sewage backup water. Yay, brown water. Delicious. Yes, poop hit the fan. Kind of almost literally. And it looked like the weekend was going to be destroyed. Like, we had done all this wonderful thing. We still had Sunday to go with so much more the Lord wanted to do. Like, we needed that wrap up. And it looked like it wasn't going to happen. We had no running water. They had to turn off water in the entire retreat house. So we thought, this is not good. But God is bigger than our obstacles. Can I say that again? God is bigger than our obstacles. And he found a way. And it all worked out. The water was turned on by the end. I got to take a shower in a monastery. Not everybody gets to do that. Cutest little thing. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And there's this little monk just in his bathrobe with his coffee cup and his little fuzzy slippers, just shuffling down to his room. And I had to wait outside the door, the door until he got into his bedroom, and then we could be let into this right inside the door where the showers. I'm like, who gets to shower in a monastery? How fun is that? So what truck did the Lord send again and again during my rosaries in preparation of this retreat weekend? The Soars sewer truck. And on the side of it is like this, his logo has a skunk and it's a poop truck. It's the pooper sucker truck. And I didn't really think, and it kept coming up every day I was praying. I kept seeing this truck and I thought, what the heck is this message? And I just ignored it. And it wasn't until this morning when I was preparing for the show that I realized, oh my gosh, God, you are so funny. God is funny. He's got the best sense of humor. My friend Suzanne, who ran the weekend, who I'm so grateful again for introducing me to the Emmaus community 10 years ago, for letting me drunk tear myself to come on this retreat weekend. My heart is overflowing. I have new friends and a new hope and a new excitement for what God is doing in this world. And I hope that everybody who spent the weekend with us has that same enthusiasm. And if you're in need of it, give me a call or send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.